Outside In at Money. Get into the company's decisions and movements now on Outside In on Money FM Zambia, your business radio.
It's time for Outside In at Money now. And of course, in studio, I have, you know, I can't keep calling everybody my favorite co-host. Eventually, they're all going to come
from me. I thought I was your favorite.
See what I mean?
OMG, OMG. It's Moyalo Chivesokundo of Financial Insight. Very distraught right now because, you know, I'm no longer Chi's favorite.
Listen, I
said it's like our second last show before Christmas.
I said I can't keep calling people that because it's not true because you're my favorite, okay?
Okay.
Does that make you feel better?
Thank you. All right, I'm flattered.
Just don't listen to me any other evening, okay?
I certainly won't. How are you doing, Chi?
I'm good, brother, man. How are you?
I'm great.
Did you miss me last week?
I so did. It was a very different show, but I'm sure our listeners thoroughly enjoyed it. And, you know, thank you so much from me and Roman on, you know, all the feedback that we've been getting.
Sure.
We've gotten a couple of tweets that are even suggesting some, you know, some companies that we should talk about. I was
really,
like, you know, this is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. And, you know, we'll definitely look into that as we, you know, prepare for the new year.
For next year, yeah, exactly. Excellent. So, we're not alone today.
We're not alone! Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special guest. Yes, the other week on episode 9, we had Edwin come through from Financial Insight. And today we have one of our newest members, Mary Longolongo. How are you doing, Mary?
I'm fine, thank you.
Fantastic, Yeah. So Mary just came in and she debuted an explosive article.
That was the debut article.
Yes, that's her debut article, Financial Insight. And, you know, I must say, I'm thoroughly impressed, and I can tell the whole nation that, you know, welcome to Financial Insight.
Mm. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So
and welcome to Outside In at Money. Hope you be here again. Who knows? We may have a substitution thing going on here.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. So anyway, So it's been a fantastic week thus far. Obviously, we did miss you last week, but you know as we
and you spoke about something I was looking forward to talking about, the change of the guard at Lafarge. Eh?
Oh yes. So you know so we covered a lot of fantastic articles last week. But you know, as usual, like I keep on telling a lot of people, there's a lot of drama that goes on in some of these companies.
Indeed.
And you know, in as much as the pool is only 22 companies that are listed on Luce, it's important that, you know, people actually follow the narratives that actually go on.
Yeah.
If you're going to be interested in actually investing in these companies, you know, how better way than to listen to Outside In so we can tell you what's actually going on in these companies.
Exactly. I don't know. This may take you a little bit back, but what even when you were beginning Financial Insights, you obviously thought that, you know, there's a deficiency. People don't know what's going on. How are people getting their advice? How are people getting their information, really, on what's going on in these companies?
Absolutely. You know what?
Yeah.
The gap was evidently huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I picked up my first annual report, and I think I mentioned this in our debut show, you know, Zambrew, you know, was the first company that I looked at because, you know, I love an occasional lager, like, you know,
brew.
Most, which was phenomenal for me because, you know, like many people love the narrative that I posted then. That's what allowed me then now to set up the Blogspot, which then now became what we now know today as Financial Insight, which has brought together, you know, a collaboration of, you know, some fantastic writers.
Yeah,
I mean, like
yeah.
I've got Musa, I've got Edwin, now I've got Mary, you know, Sophie's there, you know, so, you know, these are all young people that are, you know, that share the passion that me as founder of Financial Insight.
There's always been a community of people interested in
Because you know what? I mean, our content, the sort of research that we do is so in-depth that, you know, like this is the sort of narrative that would come from established consultancy firms, but we give it to people for free.
Literally for free.
Which is absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it also speaks into
the government's
agenda
way.
For financial. It's the millennial way. And it speaks to government's, you know, intentions for, you know, for increasing financial literacy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Excellent. So what are we doing today? What do we
Okay, fantastic.
Today?
So, ladies and gentlemen, like I mentioned, you know, I'm bringing in Mary today. You know, so she's basically going to give us a run through of a special event that was happening at a certain headquarters. So, Mary, where were you this week?
All right, so we were at the Zika headquarters.
Right, fantastic.
Just here in Lusaka, and that is on the 18th of December.
Okay.
So the Zika was holding the last press briefing.
Right, yes, for the year.
Mm-hmm. Yes, for the year. And of course, a lot of issues came out, and actually, as we can see from the article that is on Financial Insight Zambia.
And sorry, for those not in the know, Zika being Zambia Institute of Standard Chartered
Accountants. Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, yes. So a lot of issues were covered, like I mentioned.
Uh-huh.
And most of them, I feel they were quite of a follow-up out of everything that has been discussed over the year.
Uh-huh.
And I should say, unfortunately, not so much was reported on.
Right,
because
right.
With feedback on most of the issues are what we're missing. But,
okay. You know what? You know, for me, I always hold Zika's presence in discussing some of the fundamentals of economic activity in the country very, very important, because the accountant has a very, very important role. And you'll notice that in some of the articles, we do actually get to mention some of the things that they actually bring out. So it must have been quite interesting now to be in the front row seat now listening to them and obviously lament over certain issues. One of the things that that I noticed that Jason had actually touched in that you covered in your article was around VAT and the replacement of sales tax. Tell us a bit about that. Yeah.
All right. So on that one, I feel as I tried to elaborate within what he was speaking, the most issue that came out was the communication barrier.
Absolutely.
And that the issue of the rolling in of the sales tax is what is an ambiguous kind of issue, because it was never communicated to most economic players.
Absolutely.
Yes, and so
absolutely.
It's quite a surprise on how is it going to be implemented, how is the VAT system going to be phased out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there going to be any form of refunding? Is there going to be any tracking system to help
absolutely.
On how to ensure that there's some form of sustainability, or if I should say, some form of an alignment to help within the phase in into this new system. So basically, the challenge is the communication.
Absolutely.
The research is needed, and as Jason highlighted, there is need for more research and also communication to the
absolutely
people.
I mean, it takes me back to when they first implemented VAT, and it wasn't something that happened overnight. It was something that happened over a period of time. Mm-hmm. But then it's one of the things that when I've had a chance to ask questions, for example, we posed the question at the Zambia Sugar annual general meeting, and I remember Faith obviously had to give us some comfort in the fact that even her and her team were actually doing some research into it, and they were obviously going to be closely lobbying key stakeholders to ensure that they fully understand the rollout, because this obviously has prospects of changing the course of profitability for some companies. It changes how the reporting will actually be done.
Sure.
So there's a lot of issues, for example, technology, what sort of accounting technology to adopt.
Yeah,
investments have to be made there. So this is something that is very, very key, and I'm glad that Jason actually touched on that.
But he wasn't against it, was he? Did he seem to be did he betray that he was against the whole idea, or was just like, let's just be careful with how we do it? Like, what was his tact?
I think he's not really against it.
Yeah, he's leaning more towards caution. Yeah?
Mm. Yeah. So he just says just a roadmap of implementation should be cleared out. But he did also mention that because if we see on how the international community is going in, everybody is actually rolling in the VAT system instead of the other.
Absolutely.
So the question already was raised. Yes. Why are we going the other way?
Except for one big player in the room. Yeah. America also uses the sales tax system.
There you go. And they've gotten it to work.
But they're like the only one.
They're always the outliers. I mean, everybody
what is up with that?
Right-hand drive cars. America chooses left-hand drive cars.
So was he implying, because just to quote from your article here, he says Let's see, where is it? Oh, yes, he says the huge VAT refunds accruing to the mines is evidently contributing to the liquidity challenges of the mining companies. However, the question still remains whether the proposed sales tax system is the right remedy to the perceived revenue leakage. So, you know, because, well, we all know who the revenue is, who's being accused of leaking revenue here.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Is he saying that, you know, I know you guys want to shore up more of your money, meaning the government, yeah, or the Ministry of Finance, is like, but we don't know whether that's the right way to do it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And, well, I mean, of course, he has to be very diplomatic. He just can't come out and say, no, this is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But it seems that he's also on the, like, well, I know what you guys want to do, but maybe that's not the way to do it, you know?
Yeah.
But then again, he does say, hey, but you know what? You've got your plans. Go ahead and
absolutely
roll it out.
Absolutely. I mean, like, look, I mean, from echoes obviously have been heard in terms of, you know, some of the measures that they're putting in place to ensure that the rollout is actually pretty smooth. And I have to give it to, you know, like the ZRA Don, because he's been at the helm for some time now, and he's also got a lot of history with ZRA. So chances are he's also fully alive to the fact that, you know, they have to go through a systematic process of actually rolling it out. But then, obviously, you know, this definitely speaks to, you know, companies as well. It speaks to companies in terms of how exactly they should, you know, to a certain extent, be involved in the actual process.
In the process,
exactly, yes, because these are companies that obviously want to continue being going concerns going forward, and you know, you do not want to let a small matter of a transition from one tax regime to another tax regime to hampen that. So it'll be very interesting to actually keep.
Do you think the market's gonna respond to that in the next year? You know how we always say that our market doesn't move at all.
Lucid never responds to that.
So you think even to this day
it won't. I have my doubts. I mean, we pretty much know that, you know, like, volatility on the stock market, you know, only responds to, you know, like, when there's price movements, buying and selling, you know, that's the only time. And in any case, afterwards, it actually finds its equilibrium. But one of the things that we're obviously going to be investigating in 2019 is looking back to see, you know, for example, certain share prices. For example, when we covered Lafarge,
uh-huh,
you know, we'd obviously noticed that, you know, the exit of the CEO from Lafarge, you know, he exited at a much lower share price than he'd actually, you know, when he took over, exactly,
really?
By almost 50%.
Mm.
But then now, in terms of progression, when would this company actually see the, you know, the market cap actually get to its previous glories? Because you see that, you know, with listed companies, that how they're able to, you know, like, over time, based on performance and market player sentiment, that actually shows up the price. But then liquidity is obviously very, very key, because we have a market capitalization in Zambia of about our stock market of about $6 billion. Now, you know, when compared to the GDP of the country, it's about it comes at 2017 GDP, it comes in at almost 25%, which is indicative that, you know, our market is undervalued.
It's undervalued,
exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So there's obviously liquidity is the only way that it can actually allow that.
And it's actually,
you know,
it's
one
actually
of the ways
only,
it can
it's
show
only,
it
it's
up.
Only $6 billion when. With the help of one particular
big
company.
Yes, absolutely. Right, so anyway, getting back to Mary's story, I noticed that he touched on the issue of the public sector financial management. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Okay, so on that one,
there's a bit of drama, eh?
Yes.
Exactly,
yes.
Yeah.
So you see, I think there was a point of a bit of a blaming game.
Yes, okay.
Seeing how accountants are being put out in the open to say these are the persons who are wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
But then he raised the question, where are the supervisors?
True.
Because
true.
For an accountant to operate, obviously a supervisor should know. So
exactly,
if accountants are found wanting, where is the person supervising, and
that's
why
true.
Aren't they brought to book as well?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like in a way that these guys end up being scapegoats, to the whole process, which is a bit unfortunate. I remember Q3 when I attended Q3. You know, obviously, like one of the key things that Jason actually mentioned was, you know, the importance of the accountant in the firm, and it's pretty clear, and this is why, you know, bodies like Zika are very, very important, because you know, they understand that they're part of the value creation ecosystem for these companies, you know. So it's, you know, it's important that, you know, the, you know, events like this where they come in to address you know, the public, you know, and, you know, and they actually raise are able to raise some of the, you know, some of their concerns. Yeah,
I didn't know that public sector accountants are the largest concentration of accountants in the country.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, yeah, that's you know, crazy. Go figure. So yeah, right. Yeah. So what? So the man was saying, hey, don't just tune up my accountant. But you know, he does have a little bit of a point there, because you know, I mean, generally speaking, accountants don't have that type of authority, right? Like they're bean counters, right? Pencil pushers, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's true. The way, even when that story was breaking, and I noticed, I was like, the way these guys are being publicly shamed and exposed, I'm like, no, that, even to me, that seems a little bit overboard. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there must be somebody here, like, who has real authority, who's in charge. And I like the way that I like that he brings it up again, in his subtle manner. According to the, well, according to if I'm going by the article, he seems to say things very subtly.
Yeah,
you know, like, it has a lot of meaning, but it'd be like, well, you know, we just think that there should have been some control.
Exactly.
You know?
Absolutely.
You know,
go figure. Like, So anyway, one of the last issues that I wanted Mary to touch on was obviously the corporate governance issue. You know, he brought up that issue. Tell us a bit about that.
Okay, so on that one. Basically, what he brought out was most of the corporate, and let me say the state-owned enterprises are mostly running without a board of directors.
Right. Corporate governance issues. Yeah.
Yes. So the issue was public interest. Are these companies involving, or are they considering anything around public, or is there anyone trying to direct them or channeling them in the right way, considering everything within the public interest? So the question that he really brought out was, who is protecting public interest when it comes to the running of these enterprises,
right,
if we do not have a board of directors?
Absolutely.
So basically, it was quite short, but exactly. Not to self.
I mean, like, you know, the board of directors are obviously a very key component, because this is where the principal agent, and I believe this is what Jason was alluding to, you know, the principal agent challenge. Now, with the principal agent challenge, when you study managerial economics, it actually defines principal agent as a scenario where, you know, you've got the principal who obviously has certain interests in terms of value creation, growth, etc., and then you've got the agents who are actually there to implement strategies to ensure that, you know, the principal actually gets a return on the investment that he's actually made. Now, in this particular case, you know, you tend to find that if the principal is not present in situations like this, you know, the agent now can basically do whatever, you know, the agent wants to do, and whether it's for the common good of that particular company, that's something that, you know, we'd have to wait and see. But then, you know, having these measures in place, and, you know, implementing corporate governance controls, which is something that Luce are obviously very, very big on, you'll notice that it's a requirement that for listed companies that they have a board of directors, you know, so they are pinned down. So we're pretty excited with all the talk about possibility of more state-owned enterprises being listed on Luce. And, you know, we actually see a situation come next year that, you know, that the gap with some of these boards will actually be filled up if the intention to list to list is actually there, because they'll need to fulfill these Luce requirements for them to actually list.
Do we know why in the first place there were these lapses in boards? Was it an issue of... I remember there was a time, though, some complaints that, no, these guys aren't working, they're just giving themselves personal to older vehicle. Was it all about that? Was it all that?
Well,
that
I think, well, because most of the SOEs obviously fall under the jurisdiction of the IDC. So, you know, obviously IDC would be in the best position.
So,
but I think it's something that they're obviously working towards achieving, because if they've got a mandate to take most of these companies to IPO, then chances are this is something that
they have to.
They'll have to definitely look into it.
So wait, why is it So he does these talks four times a year.
Four times a year.
Where he comes and he just basically comments on what he's seeing.
Exactly, yeah. But
that's
interesting. Yeah, it is. Yeah. And you know what? And I must apologize to our readers that, you know, we only got to find out about this in Q3. And when we attended the event, we actually realized the importance of this. Mm. And, you know, like for outside in, these are things that obviously affect, you know, like companies in general. Yeah. And, you know, it just goes to show and underscore the importance of the role of the accountant. Many a time the accountant was obviously viewed as the bean counter, the guy that just counts the money, but now they actually form part of the strategic course of a company going forward. Sure. So yeah, this is it's actually fantastic, and I'm looking forward to the Q1 Q1
same
event
here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes, you.
All right. Are we done?
Yes, I believe we're done.
So, yeah. Miss Mary, what were your final thoughts on the event? Was it do you think the people went there were, let me not say blessed? Were they? was it actually constructive? Do people seem to be? Was there dialogue? Do people seem to take something away from it?
Well, I don't think so, actually.
Well, I think that the catch really? is because it's addressing the press. It's actually a very closed door.
Oh, he's addressing the press.
Yes, okay.
Yeah, so it's a closed door event. So you know, for Financial Insight to get in there,
that's why I thought it was
for Financial Insight to get in there.
Who did you?
We're talking to very big people. We're going places.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're saying that the press seemed rather dull. Like they were like whatever. They were like whatever.
Let's not start that.
Oh no. By dull, I simply mean blank faced, not the other interpretation of dull.
We could discuss this offline.
I see. But what about you, though? Was it enriching for you?
It was quite enriching, I should say, because most of the issues, as you see, are quite important and they're like a takeaway into 2019.
Yeah.
How are we seeing this in the agro environment or agro economy of the country?
Yeah.
What are the concerns of the people?
Yeah.
Because I've actually gotten reviews from some of my friends as former students, and they would say after reading the article, actually now feel concerned. Yeah. I should be asking these questions because,
absolutely,
as you can see, most of them are things that have been given a deaf ear.
Yeah.
So with more people concerned, I feel after getting concerned with these issues, more and more pressure can be put on the authority so that we get some response in the
absolutely
end.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And that's always what you want, right? The asking of questions, isn't
absolutely
it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. One takeaway from the article, I have to give you kudos on the correct use of raising the question. Many people would say this begs the question. That's actually incorrect. You're supposed to say this raises the question. Begging the question is something else entirely. So yes, well done. You get 5 points from me.
The
FM grammar.
I have to blow the Financial Insight.
My gosh!
I have the best writers in Zambia. Period.
I won't lie. I've been impressed so far. I actually won't lie about that. Yeah, impressed so far. All right. So should we take a break now? Then we'll come back and talk some companies.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. So we're gonna take a break and we'll be back after 3 minutes. Don't forget, you're welcome to contribute. No phone calls, but you can send me a message. 0967-144-220. That's good for WhatsApp and mobile text messages as well. All right, so we'll be right back. Stay tuned to Outside In at Money on Money FM.
Outside In at Money. Get into the company's decisions and movements now on Outside In on Money FM Zambia, your business radio.
Money 93.7 FM, Zambia's first business talk radio.